Regarding Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not needed to express, actually, to convey the significance, of course, the Sefer Shaar HaAvodah that we are studying. For the mere fact, first of all, that it's written by a Rishon. The mere fact that it's written by a Rishon, talking about people who possessed gigantic intellect and gigantic neshamas, which basically this was the embodiment. Whatever they taught, that's what they were. That really represented their etzem tzias, and that was what they lived for. But it's because I have to mention maybe a few words of the Chido. The Chido himself wrote about close to 100 Sfarim, as we mentioned quite a number of times, and we have the opportunity to talk about the Chido. And so he writes regarding Ben Yoni, because the saint, he says, are gates of excellence, he says, wherewith to awaken the neshama to fear of Hashem. His holy words, says the Chido, serve to break the hearts of stone, even if a person has a heart of stone. But studying the words of Ben Yoni, the words of Ben Yoni are so powerful that it's even able to break a heart of stone. And then he writes, the Chido continues, and he says, Ashrei, fortunate is the one who is worthy of paying daily attendance upon his doors. It's a poetic phrase, meaning someone has the opportunity to keep studying, you know, the words of Rabbeinu Yonah very often. And he says that a person who studies the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, writes the Chido, he'll be able to absorb his holiness of Rabbeinu Yonah and his saintliness, and his heart, he says, will very quickly hasten to repent to do tshuva. Because the holy words of Rabbeinu Yonah will enter into the heart and will illuminate his heart. So writes the Chido. Now, we had mentioned that the Ramban was actually very close to Rabbeinu Yonah, and the fact is that, first of all, they were first cousins, because the mother of Ramban and the father of Rabbeinu Yonah were brother and sister. In addition to that, they were also mechutanim, because Rabbeinu Yonah's son had married the daughter of the Ramban. And the closeness goes to the extent that when Rabbeinu Yonah passed away, he was the first one to pass away, and the Ramban actually wrote a eulogy, which is a sort of like a poetic eulogy regarding to express the tremendous pain and the loss that the world, actually the void that is being felt by the loss of Rabbeinu Yonah. So I have here actually quite a few lines, just mention just a few of them, of what Ramban wrote upon the patira of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he writes, I'll say the Hebrew and then the translation. He says, Heilu hoy, Heilu means mourning. Heilu hoy liyoyim hukva. It means, let's make a mourning, he says, upon the day. Boy b'chiyel adoyris. It should be a day when mourning, he says, will be for all generations. We should ordain this to be a day of mourning for all generations. B'chiyel adoyris. He says, because Yisrabu boy akloyis. Because by the patira of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a time where troubles have increased and tribulations was remembered, as he points out. Yitzkuru by Atzaris. You know, this invokes and reminds us all of the past Tzaris as well. When you have a great sorrow, one is usually reminded of Tzaris of the past also. The great tragedy of the Ptir Ben Yoyne is something that will remind us of past Tzaris. Lachain Evkeboy, he says, the Asaped. And therefore, he says, I will cry on that day, he says, and I will mourn. Binifor Choymes Habatsuris, he says, the wall, the fortified wall. When Rabbeinu Yonah was alive, so basically he protected the remnants of Klal Yisrael due to his holiness and his greatness. But now the Chaimus Abasuras, the fortified wall, has been broken down. The Hesem its Nefes Vahatzitz, and the crown and the headplate, which is a symbol of the Kohen Gadol who wore it. Kohen Gadol was the highest level of Kedusha, wore the tzitz, which is the headplate when he did the Avodah. Except to say that with the passing of Rabbeinu Yonah, we lost the wearer of the crown, he says, and the tzitz. Harim Keser of Torah, as we said, the crown and everything of glory has been removed. Harav Yonah, he says, Avi Midois. Rabbeinu Yonah is the father of virtues. Rav Yoyna Avi Amidos, who Yochid B'Taharis, he was unique in purity. Hoy Chasidis, he says, Chasidis, he says, woe to saintliness, because we've lost all that. We have lost purity, therefore woe to Chasidis. Woe to Taharis, woe to purity, woe to saintliness. Hoy Anova, woe to humility, because there's no one like him to replace him in the area of humility either. Hoy Precious Vazoris, woe to the person who has so much piety and someone so careful about everything. Not only we should cry, but the mission of the Gemara should also cry, because there's no one around who will really be able to learn and explain the mission of the Gemara as well as he did. Says therefore the Ramban, Hoy Mishnu Gemara. He says, woe is to the mission of the Gemara by the loss of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he continues and says, "And hoy mikro mesoiris." Also, the Chumash itself, he says, the Chumash itself, he said, should cry. And tradition should cry, because we don't have a person who is really so capable to be inspirational and have that influence to see that tradition continues on through the passing. Hoy Talmud v'toisvis. He says, woe to the Talmud, he says, and the toisvis. The Talmud might as well cry. The Tosfos might cry. Hoy kushus is svaris. Woe, he says, to all the kashas, to the inquiries, right, and all the type of svaris and the logical inferences that we try to explain. We don't have anyone who has the clearer thought, with the clarity of thought as Rabbi Yonah had, to be able to explain and to raise the proper questions and to answer the questions in a proper manner. Hoy la'odoin, woe is to the master, koinenu, who basically who contained in himself, what did he contain? Boy luchas abris, he contained with himself the tablets of the law. In other words, the two luchas abris were contained in Reuben Yoin. Reuben Yoin himself was a walking luchas. He was the one, and therefore, it's a, in a sense, it's like we lost the luchas. The person, the master, who contained within himself the luchas abris. Achas, he says, one, we have to realize, and ahoy, we have to cry, la mizbeach nikra. The mizbeach has been raised down to the ground. Ben Yoina, the mizbeach. Mizbeach is the place where we do the avodah. Ben Yoina was the symbol of one doing avodas Hashem on the highest level. And therefore, it's like the mizbeach has been raised down to the ground. Boy botlu kaporis, he says. It's a time where, when the Mizbeach is raised, you know what that means? It means that atonement now comes to an end. Because basically, it's the Mizbeach is the place, Mizbeach Kapora. Meaning now that we lost Rabbi Yoina, we don't have anyone really to intercede on our behalf, to be able to break through the heavens in order to be able to really have a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he should intercede on our behalf. We have lost all that. And then he says, which is very, it's just a fascinating thing. One thing consoles him. What do you think consoled Rambam? That Rabbi Yoina is gone. What's his nechama? What consoles him? Says the Ramban. Now listen, Ramban. This is a Rishon talking, and not some Ramban, as we know Ramban, one of the greatest Rishonim. Achas hili nechama. There's one nechama. He said, there's one thing alone that consoles me. He says, with the loss of Rabbeinu Yonah, and that is when my time comes, and I will be taken to the grave. Yoim uval likvoris. The day that I will be taken to my own grave, I will again be able to see Rabbi Yoina and meet up with him. The lashon, the beautiful lashon that he says, "Erze b'tzedek ponecho, I will see your face in righteousness. Tazir b'zoya hamoiris, shining in the light of all the constellations." This is basically a little bit to see how the Rambam expressed his feelings. As we go through the Shaar Avodah, it's no different than when we learned the other Sefer, which was a few years ago, which is the Shaar Tshuva, that one cannot just be overwhelmed by the awesome comprehensiveness, of course, of Ben Yoina's Torah knowledge, because it's a fabric that is woven basically from strands drawn from the length and the breadth of Tanakh, of Gemara, of Medrash. It's all in a single unified design. And this is the Rishon in him that is speaking. He sees Torah as an organism. He sees the Torah as a whole. So that's Rabbeinu Yoina. Just leave you with one vort, first of all, just. And that is a very novel approach that we have in Parshas Lech Lecha. We find that when Avraham Avinu was commanded, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha U'Milatecha, they should leave his father's home, his birthplace, right, the land that he was living all these years. So Torah said, Vayikach Avraham took his Sarai Yishtai, took along his wife Sarai, Vesloit Benochiv, and he took along Loit, his nephew. What else did he take along? It says, Vanefesh Asher Osu B'choron. He took along all of those souls that they made in Choron, because Avraham Avinu and Sarai were busy in outreach, the first, the Kiruv movement, the foundation of Ravino, and therefore he took along, didn't leave him behind. Ravino was leaving, so he takes along his Nefesh Ashrosu Bechoron, they take along all of those Neshamis, all of those that they have basically converted, to bring them to the realization that there's the one God, the only God, the true God, and so on. Now, the interesting is, Rabbeinu Yoina points out and says, what was the motivation for Ravino to get involved in that mission? In other words, curious. What was Ravino's motive? What was his motive? In order to get involved and to dedicate his life, right, to work and to reach out to people. Ben Yoina says that Rav Avinu reached out, he says, purely, this is his take on it, and it's a novel approach. Ben Yoina says that Rav Avinu's dedication to the mission, what we call today Kiruv, outreach, he says, was simply for altruistic reasons, meaning, Ben Yoina says, Rav Avinu loved people. Listen to what he says. Avraham Avinu, he says, loved people. His heart actually overflowed, he said, with a desire to help as many as he could, regardless of their origin. And therefore, Avraham Avinu loved them and attempted to reach out, even if they were not at first receptive to Avraham Avinu's overtures. Which means to say is, Ben Yoina is different than all the other Mefarshim. All the other Mefarshim say, Avraham Avinu's focus was, I have a Hashem. There's no question Ben Yoina agrees. Avraham Avinu had the highest level of Ahavas Hashem. But whereas all the other commentators, Mefarshim say, Avraham Avinu's Ahavas Hashem wanted to bring other people also close to Hashem, but Yonah says Avraham Avinu's the love of people. It's Ahavas Habrius. And therefore he felt that the best benefit, the best thing that he can do for people, for humanity and humankind, to have them recognize the truth. So that was out of his Ahavas. It wasn't Ahavas Yishol at the time. It was Ahavas Habrius. Simply his love for people, no matter what their origin. It's a very, very unique approach, and it's coming from someone like Rabbeinu Yonah, so that is a very, very strong yesay to hear such a very, very interesting approach. So we begin now a little bit, Rabbi Sanishal Aveda. We hear now, which is in your edition, it is in Daf Yud Aleph, it's Ois Gimel, Paragraf Gimel, in Daf Yud Aleph. Just want to mention again that the opening lines of Rabbeinu Yonah that we studied a few weeks ago when we started, what to say is that the Pesach Harishon, that the first opening in any area of Avodas Hashem, that the first opening, said Rabbeinu Yonah, is for a person l'harich es asmoy, to recognize his self-worth. A person has to have self-esteem. If you don't have self-esteem, that is one of the strongest things that will block a person and prevent them from growing in any area. You have to have self-esteem. The person has to be ma'arich es asmoy. He has to recognize his self-worth. I just want to mention that this is what Rabbeinu Yonah says, and again, some sefer I'm going to mention to you, he did not have this Shaarei Avodah, because the Shaarei Avodah we mentioned was printed awfully late. It was only printed in the 60s out of a manuscript, as opposed to Rabbeinu Yonah's Shaarei Tshuva was printed in the 1500s in Italy. It might have been printed in Fano with Ramam Bapano, that's Fano, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah. But the Shaarei Avodah, what we're studying now, literally is a discovered manuscript. And that, we said, was a little bit of controversy at first, to realize who the authorship of that is, because again, it was not signed by Rabbeinu Yonah. And that needed a lot of scholarly, investigation in terms of comparison, type of language, style, content, and to see if there's any cross-reference in any other areas form of Rabbeinu Yonah. Therefore, to gain the knowledge that this in fact is Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, repeating again what we said, there are still those who have a different opinion. They don't know who it is. They say it may not be Rabbeinu Yonah, but yet there is long, strong support, and this is the way it has been accepted, that the Sefer Shaarei Avodah is from Rabbeinu Yonah. In any case, so the Chasam Sofer tells us that when the Tzibur and the commandment came, in order to craftily with skilled work to be able to make the Big Day Kahuna in Parshas Tetzaveh, to design and to actually make the Big Day Kahuna, which were the vestments that the Kohanim wore. So the Loshon is, by the way, we see a Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying the following words. I'm just going to read the words. You don't have it here. I'm going to repeat saying it here. After Tadaber Kol Chachmei Lev, Kodesh Baruch Hu says in Parshas Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you speak to all the Chachmei Lev, all those people who are full of wisdom. Their heart is full of wisdom. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have filled them with spirit of Chochmah. Speak to the wise people whom I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have filled with wisdom. Speak to them, what? The also is big that Aharon lekatsho lechahanuli, that they should make the begodim of Aharon. Aharon will become sanctified by wearing these begodim. Okay, simple translation is, speak to the Chachmelev. What should you speak to them? Direct them that they should make the big dikunet. Instruct them that they should make the Big Day Kahuna. It's time now to manufacture the Big Day Kahuna. That's a simple translation. Some services have other, but there's something which is mentioned before. Now I want to read just a few lines of Chasam Sofer. And so it's just fascinating how you see that how Gedol Yisrael have all had the same insight, and how they branch out to explain other areas with the same idea. So Chasam Sofer, the klal is the rule is shebelibay suanoshim hachokhma netua. That people are very wise, who have chokhmah, that's within them. They have wisdom within them. But that wisdom many times is not evident, and they're not even aware of it. Many people are not aware of their talents. Until someone comes who notices, someone who has a deep perception. Sometimes a person with talent, who's not aware of it, right? Sometimes he meets someone. It could be in the secular world, he meets an agent, or he meets someone who is very good in business and recognizes this, this person is useful. Says, I'm sorry, there are many people who have wisdom within themselves, He says, if somebody will come and awaken it, if there will be someone who will be able to awaken that which is hidden, or bring out that which is hidden, and everybody now will be able to see it and recognize the talents of that person. By the way, we see it many times. It should never happen that kind of way, but we see many people all of a sudden become activists and become pushed into the world of activism because of a situation that happened in their life. It could be sometimes a mother that happens to have a child that happens to be autistic child. So all of a sudden she gets involved right in forming an organization, you know, working on that. You have people who have MS. All of a sudden there's people who were involved with that. So all of a sudden, multiple sclerosis, so they get involved with organizations. You never knew that. There were not people that can lead organizations because they themselves, it hit home. You have people, tragedies, you know, where someone lost a child which was murdered. So it was a certain person that we have heard of, started an organization in order to protect victims and so on. These people were never activists. These people were quite simple, regular citizens. All of a sudden there was something which ignited a spark that was hidden, which was there. But it needed something to bring out to the forefront. And that's really true. Every person has, in one area, some areas, or maybe more than one, there's an area where you have tremendous talents in it. But it's not recognized all the time. And therefore, said the Chassam Sofer, it's needed that what, that someone should come and be ma'ir, should awaken it. Bimlav, and if that is not awakened, in other words, if the person is not made aware, you know what happens? It just evaporates. In other words, you can lose that talent as well. You can lose the talent, and he says, it's very similar, he says, to a seed in the ground. A seed in the ground, you plant it, has a lot of potential. The potential of the seed is, he says, if you take care of it, you start to cultivate it. You water it, you dig, and you hoe, and you do what you have to do. But if you just keep the seed lying dormant, he said, eventually it's going to rot, and nothing's going to come of it. The same thing is true also in the physical world also, right? The person has a muscle. If you use the muscle, you exercise the muscle, then the muscle is going to be not only stronger, it's going to exist, you'll be able to maintain that muscle. But if you don't use it, then the muscle just goes, just withers away. You're not going to have it. Some surgeon says many, many talents. He says this is what happens, but you need someone to awaken you. So Amela says, some surgeon, Omar Hashem Yisbarach L'Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, there are people who are chachmei lev. There are people who have a lot of wisdom. They're not aware of it. You know what I'm saying? There are people chachmei lev, but they're not aware of it. So Mamela, so what's the commandment? Some sefer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'ato tedaber. Listen to the words of the posik, how he interprets the posik. Some sefer. Va'ato tedaber akol chachmei lev. You go speak to the chachmei lev. What should you speak? Say the words. Asher mileisev ruachom. Tell them that Kol Yibokhi gave you chachma. The Asher is the message. Not like we like the simple translation. Speak to the Chachma Lev who have been filled with Chachma. No, the Asher is already the message. For after that, tell them that I, Kodesh Baruch Hu, have given them talent, and the Mele, they have talent. So also they should go ahead and make and manufacture the big day Aharon. They should make the big day Kohen. So here we see a tzibur of Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go let them know. Let them know that they are Chachma Lev, because there are many, in fact, who might be Chachma Lev, but someone they're not aware of it. So that's basically, again, what we have learned from Vedyayana. Very important, the first step is the person should recognize Laharich es Asimoy, and recognize whatever he does is very choshev in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's important. So we get further now, on Daf Yeral of Gimel. Okay, Umakol Makoy, Makol Shanaim. Basically, again, this is really a hemshich, it's a continuation. Last week, which we started here with Ben Yoyanim, which, and this is really a continuation, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, first he said in the previous segment we had, Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael from among all the nations. That's number one. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael from among the nations. However, we mentioned that Kodesh Baruch Hu made subdivisions within Yisrael themselves. Klal Yisrael as a whole was chosen among the nations, and now within Klal Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu made subdivisions. So Kodesh Baruch Hu chose groups, he chose groups among groups, and he chose people from among people. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave special tasks right to those special groups, and he gave extra responsibilities to certain people. So examples that we have here, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're going to see right now. First of all, we have the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu chose the Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael from among all the nations. Now it continues on further. He says, now, Umikol Shemos Hashibta Yisrael, and now he says, from among the 12 tribes themselves, there's a subdivision. Because Baruch then chose from them also. Baruch Hashem is Baruch B'Shevet Levi. So now comes the family of Levi. But all the Kohanim come also from Shevet Levi. Whether you're Kohen or a Levi, you're all coming from Shevet Levi. It's coming from the tribe of Levi. Because Baruch went ahead and he chose Shevet Levi from among the 12 tribes. So now there's another choosing. There's another choosing, another Bechira. Another Bechira choosing Shevet Levi. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Be'esahi hivdala Hashem as Shevet Alevi. The Pasuk says that at that particular time, Kadosh Baruch Hu came and he set aside the tribe of Levi, giving them special tasks, special responsibilities, a higher level of service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Oimer, similar we find, remember in Parshas Korach, when Korach was not satisfied that he's from Shevet Levi, he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. What's the response? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Korach? He says, why aren't you satisfied with all that you have? You are already a Levi, which already has been given distinction. Why do you want that? You're not satisfied. You want even more. Hama'at mikem, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Korach. Is it not enough? Is it not enough? Is it little? Is it a small thing? Gehivdol lekai Yisrael eschem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu separated you from the rest of Yisrael to bring you closer to Him. You already have been chosen to a higher task. You are a Levi. Is that not enough that you have to keep pushing and fighting and causing arguments and... So Shevet Levi now again, Shevet Levi has been set aside, right? Has been set aside by Kodesh Baruch Hu for the special responsibilities. And from Shevet Levi himself, who comes out? Who from Shevet Levi comes out? The Kohen. So the Kohen now has been separated from Levi himself further. So Mekol Shevet Levi, and from the entire tribe of Levi, Bocha Baharin Olav Asholem, Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Aharin. Hashem chose Aharon Ubon of Akrov, right? And his descendants after him to follow. Lavoides Akrobonish, to the service of the Krobonish, the sacrifices. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Behoy Yahoyish Asher Yivcha Hashem, Hu HaKodesh. The person that would be chosen by Hashem, he's the Holy One. The person that is chosen by Hashem. So, the Kohen, which is chosen by Hashem, he's the Holy One. This was Aharon that was chosen. And the Yomim, we find also the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The Pasuk also talks about the tafkin and the task of Aharon and his descendants. Ubenei Amram, the children of Amram. Now Amram, you know, we had Aaron, he had Moshe, and he had Miriam. But now we're talking about Aharon. Ubenei Amram, Aharon and Moshe. But Vayibodel Aharon, but Aharon was separated like Dishoi Kodesh Kedoshim. So if anybody is holy, Aharon is Kodesh Kedoshim. He's the holiest of the holy. Aharon has been sanctified to be Kodesh Kedoshim, who ubana bar olam, lahaktil et Hashem, in order to bring and to burn the burnt offerings, to burn offerings in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, l'shosoy, to serve Hashem, ulevarach b'shmoy, and to give the blessing. Was that the Birchas Koyam? The Kohen gives up to Duchen. The Kohen is up to Duchen. Who is he blessed? He blesses Klal Yisrael. Where does he have the power of blessing? The power of blessing is because Hashem, right, gave the Kohanim the power that they have the ability to bless the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means, Levarach Bishmoy. That in the name of Hashem, the Kohen has the ability to give a blessing to all of Klal Yisrael. So we see again, Shevet Levi has been separated. Shevet Levi has been set apart from the rest of Bnei Yisrael. And within Shevet Levi itself, the Kohen has been separated. As we see further, the Yomer, as the Pasuk says, in fact, says, Va'ata hakrev yalecho saharen ochicho. The Pasuk says, Va'omer says, Vasisa big day kodesh laharen ochicho. Very special begotten, very special uniforms. Not simple uniforms that look beautiful, which that also, the chavid will sepharis, but they're big day kodesh. The begotten that basically inject holiness. What's the halacha of the Kohen? Does the avoid without wearing the big day kohen? The avoid is possible. And the Gemara's lashon is, the Gemara's lashon is, "Bizman shibugadeim aleim, kohenusam aleim." When they have the begodim, they are called kohanim. When they don't have the begodim, it's as if they're not kohanim. So it's not just wearing the begodim. Wearing the begodim actually enhances them and lifts them up to a higher level of kedusha. The begodim are big de kodesh. And very much the Pasuk says further, "Ki boi bachar Hashem." It is in him that Hashem has chosen. All the different psukim that talk about how Hashem exclusively chose Aharon and his children for the special task of being a Kohen. Ve'yomer, and then the Pasuk says, V'nikshu ha-Kohanim b'nei Levi, that is in Parashat Shoftim. V'nikshu ha-Kohanim b'nei Levi, the Kohanim are descendants of Levi, because all Kohanim come from Levi. And the Pasuk says further, he says, V'goyim, etc. So what does the Pasuk say further? It says, V'nikshu ha-Kohanim b'nei Levi, ki bom bochar Hashem l'kechem, saying it here, so you don't have it inside, because it's V'goyim, etc. Ki bom bochar Hashem l'kechem, l'shor soy, u'levarim b'shem Hashem. And finally we have the Pasuk which is mentioned in Shmuel, in Tanakh, U'bocha oisa mikol shifte Yisrael. Alright, so here we have examples where we're talking about people. People in Klal Yisrael, so we have segments, we have groups, and we see that every person, first of all, has a special mission that he has in life also. I just want to mention, how does a person know what his special mission is? How does a person know? Every person that came down this world, you have a mission. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, in one of the Mekomim, he says, actually in Sefer Tzidkus HaTzadik, people find certain areas where they have challenges, where they find difficult to overcome to do the right thing. Sometimes the area of money, doing business, whether to be honest. Sometimes it is speaking words of truth, and they want to bend the truth. Sometimes in the area of immorality, right? People are human beings. People have areas where they feel weakness. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, the area that you feel the most weakness, that has been your mission, your challenge, to try to overcome and to surpass that. And you do that, you have fulfilled your mission. So in the area where a person feels challenged, the person feels constrained, the person feels the most weakness, and he thinks that he cannot overcome it, that is the area, that is your tafkid, says Rav Tzadik. And Rav Tzadik says, it's also, there's a balance, zelu mazeh. In the area where you feel a weakness and challenge, because Kodesh Baruch Hu also gave you hidden strength to be able to overcome it. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not throw a test against you that you can't master it. The thing is, again, we're not always aware that we have the power, the ability to overcome certain challenges. We say, I can't. People say, I can't stop smoking. The question is, how much will do you have? And the question is, are you trying to work towards that will, to achieve that goal? So everybody has a mission. So we're talking about the mission. So the Levi has their mission, the Kohen has their mission, and the regular Yisrael have their mission. Now comes, what about the lands of the world? Let's talk about the countries of the world. How Kodesh Baruch Hu made selections? How Kodesh Hu chose? So, we go to Dawud. U'mikol shivim arotzois shibaro ha-mashem izborach. From all, he says, from all the lands, from all the 70 lands that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, mikulam bocha es Yisrael. That's the choicest. Just as was mentioned before, from all the nations, the choicest are the Bnei Yisrael. And from the Bnei Yisrael, we had Levi. And from Levi, it's the Kohen. Now, regarding the lands of the world, regarding all the lands of the world, he says, which is the choicest? Hashem chose Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk is in Parashas Ekev, Eretz Yisrael is a land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are always upon it. Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doyresh oisa. Tomit. It's a land where Kodesh Baruch Hu seeks it out continuously. And it says further, and it doesn't bring the whole pasuk here, what does it say later? Eine Hashem alekecha botonit, the eyes of Hashem are always upon it. Mereshis Hashono ad Achris Hashono, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Eretz Yisrael is continuously under the supervision, on the critical eye of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nei kola HaShem Yisbarach Asoy. Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it my land, my country. Everything belongs to Hashem, of course. But specifically Eretz Yisrael is referred to, it's verbalized. This is my country, it's my land. Hashem calls Eretz Yisrael my land. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, it's Pasuk in Yoel. The Pasuk in Yoel says, Al ami v'nachlosi Yisrael. For the sake of my people and my possessions, which is Yisrael, this Arzi Chileku, they divided up my land, this Arzi Chileku, because Eretz Yisrael was divided between the tribes. This Arzi, my land, they have divided. See, it's called, Eretz Yisrael is called my land. It's the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Omer, and then there's another pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Am Hashem Eilud, these are the people of Hashem, pointing to the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael, the Am Hashem, Uma'atzoi Yotzou, and they departed from his land. Which means when they were exiled, where were they exiled from? From his land. It means from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land. And here, one more segment. Let's take a look. Hey. So Eretz Yisrael has been again, has been chosen from all the lands, has been selected. Eretz Yisrael itself also is subdivided. Which is the choicest part of Eretz Yisrael? That's Yerushalayim. So in the same way that we had among the people, right? Among the people. The Jewish people have been selected among the nations. And among the Jewish people itself, Levi has been selected. And among Levi is the Kohen. The same thing now, we have the subdivisions within all the lands of the world. Eretz Yisrael has been selected. We may call Eretz Yisrael, and from the rest of all of Eretz Yisrael, Bocha Hashem Yerushalayim. Hashem chose Yerushalayim, that is the place, the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu decided which is going to be my dwelling place, my divine presence. Now Hashem's presence is everywhere. Of course, everything is relative. But where is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibyoch, that's where He dwells. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His divine presence rests there. Ukevoyed and Hashem's glory, Lavoy Shom, that's the place HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. That's where you're going to do the service, to do the Avodis HaKabonis. That's where you do the Kabonis, the sacrificial Avodis. With Sparrow Shom, the best place to daven is in Yerushalayim. Because all the tefillahs, by the way, when we daven over here, the tefillahs, they go to Shemayim, all the prayers, they don't go straight up, they go through Eretz Yisrael, they go through the Mokem HaMikdash, the place of the Megiddo, by the Kohel Maravi, that area, go through there, and then we'll go up to Shemayim. So it goes like a detour to go up to Shemayim. So this has been the place, Yerushalayim, that's the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu has chosen from all of Eretz Yisrael. That's the place to have the Shechina rest there, the divine presence be there. That's the place, the Spal Shom Lefonot, and he says it was there at the time when we had a Beis Hamikdash. It was B'chol Shor, B'chol Eis, B'chol Shor. I say something very fascinating. Ben Yoni says, you want to know how much revelation you were actually able, the presence of Hashem was able to be felt sort of like tangible. Of course, you can't see Hashem. And certainly the way we are now, during the time of exile, in Hashem, in a certain sense, we're living in a time which is a dark age, which means Hashem conceals Himself. That's the lowest ebb until Mashiach comes. But at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the presence of Hashem is actually able to be felt. To what extent? Look what he says. The Zman of Beis Hamikdash, it was Me'ein Dugma. It was quite similar. The experience of Hashem was similar. Shehoyal HaSinai Be'eis Matan Torah. There's no higher time of revelation. At the time when the Torah was given to HaSinai, where the Pesuk tells, Vayeru Hashem HaSinai, Hashem came down with the whole entourage, with tens of thousands of malachim and angels came down together. At the time, it was a dramatic scene of Matan Torah. That highest level of revelation of Gilui Shechina that existed at the time of Matan Torah existed, says Rabbeinu Yoina, at the time that we had a Beis Hamikdash, Le'inyan Kovod HaShechina, regarding, we're talking about divine presence of Hashem, Le'inavua, prophecy, we had on the highest level. Well, the Inyan HaTorah, and also in terms of understanding Torah. In other words, the understanding, the exploration of Torah, the revelation of all the secrets of Torah, which was revealed, which was able to be able to pursue at that time, because it says, Ki Mitzir En Teis Yitorah V'Hashem Yerushalayim. That's where all the Chochmas HaTorah really comes from, to the whole world. The Hashpoas HaTorah comes from Eretz Yisrael, and Be'ikar mainly comes from Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yoni saying over here, actually something mamish, exactly what Ramban says. And not because they were Mechutana, not because they were first cousins. Rabbi Yoni didn't say what Ramban wrote, Ramban didn't say what Ramban regarding this area. Ramban says the same ideas, that this was a tremendous thing, that Yidden were zoicheh to reach a highest level of Gilui Shechina, to experience the revelation of the Shechina. It was almost tangible, like you could touch it, you could feel the presence of Hashem at that particular time. That was at the time when we had the Beis Hamikdash. V'nikra amokim mahu. And therefore he says, Yerushalayim, the place of the Beis Hamikdash, he says, is referred to the following five titles. It's called Har Hashem. It's called Har Hashem, the mountain of Hashem. Har Meriah is called Har Hashem. It's called V'nachlosoi. It's called V'nachlosoi, it's called His heritage. That's the place of Hashem's heritage. It's called Beis Elokim. It's called, of course, the house of Hashem. Shar Shemayim, right? Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, V'zeh Shar Shemayim. It's called the gates of heaven. The gates of heaven is down here, straight to heaven. You have an opening straight to heaven. Go to Yerushalayim, go to the Mokem HaMikdash, that's a straight opening, straight. And five is called the Har HaKodesh. It's called the Holy Mountain. Vishtavu Hashem, as we know, the Har HaKodesh, it's called. The Chen Oemer, also the Pesuk says, by the Akedah, the end of the Akedah, Hayim Bahar Hashem Yeroah. On the mountain Hashem will be seen, as is mentioned over there. And the Oemer, as he points out, Shempai Tzavayetzi, Yankovino dreams, finally he has a dream and he recognizes that this is the place where he was right? He was able, he had the merit to witness. He's dreaming, Hashem is revealing himself. He recognized he must be sleeping, he was sleeping there at first, and he has a dream. This must be holy ground. Because up to this place, he said he did not merit to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself in such a manner. So he says, Ein Zekin Beis Elokim. This must be, this is no other place than the house of Hashem. There was no Beis HaMikdash at the time. But this was the place where, years later, this was the place where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. He felt it right away. Ein Zekin Beis Elokim is Zeshar Shemayim. This is the gates of heaven, where I am. And Roimer, he's quoting all the psukim to show the five names, because he said Har Hashem, Nachlosoi, Beis Elokim, Shar Shemayim. He's quoting all the psukim we find that the Mokim HaMikdash is referred to these titles. For example, we say in Ozioshir, right? We say Tiviyemoi v'sitoemoi b'ha Nachloscho. Tiviyemoi goes, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you will bring the Jewish people. Tiviyemoi, you will bring them. V'sitoemoi, and you will situate them. Where? B'ha Nachloscho, at the mountain of your heritage. So you see that what? That the Mokim HaMikdash is called Har Nachloscho, the mountain of your heritage. That's Abraham, then the Pesach in Yeshaya. V'yishtarvu l'Hashem b'Har HaKodesh Yerushalayim. Here we see the title of Har HaKodesh. And then we see the Pesach says, Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. What does the Pesach say later? Says Vagoyim. What's it later? We say in the davening, Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, Iva l'moish avloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired its habitation, because Baruch desired to be there. And finally we have the Pasuk. Vayimer, the Pasuk says, it's also in Tehillim, Zois menuchose adeyad. This is my resting place, because Baruch upon Yerushalayim to the Mokim HaMikdash. This is my resting place for how long? Adeyad, forever. There'll never be another place. This is going to be my place. This is my resting place. Zois menuchose adeyad. And the Pasuk says further, he doesn't bring the whole Pasuk. Poi eshev, says the Pasuk. Here is the place that I will dwell. So what we're going to be doing here, Rabbi Isai, in many moments here, let's take a look at the sheet, and we're going to find out, basically we're going to do, which is play this Chassam Sefer, straight down the line, different areas of Chassam Sefer, talking about the virtues of Eretz Yisrael, because as we just saw now in Rabbi Yoina, talking about Eretz Yisrael was chosen from all the lands, so first of all, Eretz Yisrael above all the lands, and then Yerushalayim within Eretz Yisrael. So let us see, first of all, the Milas. Let us see how Eretz Yisrael distinguishes itself from all the other lands, and then find out how Yerushalayim distinguishes itself, he says, from the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So there's really, we have the first item, but in order to save time, we have to see. So we'll go to number two. We'll start with the second item. We'll see, depending on time, if we can do number one. But it's well worth it if you can do it on your own. Because we also spoke about a Kohen that could work from all the Bnei Yisrael. Because God chose Bnei Yisrael from the rest of the nations, and from Bnei Yisrael he chose the Levim, and from the Levim he chose the Kohen. So a Tzadik HaKohen has a very interesting thing about the Kiddush of a Kohen. But again, for the sake of time, so let's go start with number two. First of all, Chassam Sofer says a fascinating thing. Who can say this? Only Chassam Sofer. The Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael is so great. The Kiddush of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, if you just say the words Eretz Yisrael, you have now become holier than you were before you said it. Just uttering the words of Eretz Yisrael. Saying the words Eretz Yisrael, I said it. Saying the words Eretz Yisrael already gives you a kedusha for the mere fact. Eretz Yisrael. Look at the words of Chassam Sofer and some parshas Voschana. Haskoras Shem Eretz Yisrael Moilit Kedusha. By the way, the kedusha basically is created not only the one who said it, but one who heard it from you. So if I'm saying the words Eretz Yisrael and you're listening, so it's not only being created kedusha in the one who said it, but also in those who are listening. Let's take a look at the words of Chassam Sofer fully. Hinei b'chol parashis halolu b'sefer devarim. He said, throughout sefer devarim, mazkir Eretz Yisrael b'chol prat u'prat. We find Moshe Rabbeinu mentioning Eretz Yisrael in every detail, every step of the way. Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere we find Eretz Yisrael being mentioned. So Chassam Sofer, why is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioning it so many times? V'hu is gula nifloye. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give Karzor a gift, a tremendous gula, a treasure. What's this gula? Ki azkoras ha'oretz ha'mekudish. Mentioning the Holy Land, moilid kedusha b'leil ha'shemeya. Incredible thing. It creates a kedusha in the one who hears it. He says, because the downside is also true. When it comes to tumah, the Gemara says, if a person uses his mouth, and saying impure words, it's not just you said, well, we say foul language, right? But the truth is, in the world of spirituality, if you use what's called foul language, words of tumah, It also leaves a roshim of tumah, an impression of tumah on you also. In other words, it takes away, not just that you're abused by using foul language. There's an after effect. By using foul language, it lowers you from your level of kedusha. It takes away from your level of holiness. And now you have to build up back again. So just like on the downside, if you express yourself with words of tumah, you lose kedusha. You add the other way too. When you say words of kedusha, you build up. You are raised up in kedusha, as he points out. Kemoi betume, just like in the world of tume, in the world of impurity, in the world of tume. The chesedbe it says, "Oh, yishom al picho." Don't allow words of tume to come across your mouth. Well, kemoi the gemara says, "Koloi merochav rochav imegilah." There was a certain immoral woman who was known at the time, which is mentioned in Tanakh, and the Gemara says, don't mention, well, today it's not Negev, the Gemara says, anybody who knew that woman, who is basically known as a woman who behaves very, very immoral, so at that time is the Gemara, what, she, her name should not be mentioned, because if you mention her name, really mentioning her name will cause you to lower yourself into, he says, into the dungeon of Tumah. Koloim Rochav Rochav. So just like if you mention the word of Rochav, that was her name, the Gemara says. It has the terrible negative effect. Kei says the Chasam Sofer HaHepuch. The opposite is also true. Bekedusha. Baskoras Eres HaGadosha. But he says nothing. Anshei Kodesh. The Chasam Sofer says, mention the names of holy people. So the Sofer says, when you mention the names of holy people, it also adds Kedusha to you. That's another thing. A very fascinating thing. So if you say Avraham, you say Yitzchak Yaakov, you know what? You mention Chofetz Chaim. You have to go thousands of years back. You mention holy people, Anshe Kodesh, and the Sofer writes, he writes, Shigamas, Koras, Tevis, Yisrael, or even saying the word Yisrael. Yisrael means a Jew. Yisrael. Mentioning the word Yisrael, he says, Zgula is the same Zgula, Kiniska Lamailo, Kimazkir Shem, because you're mentioning Anshe Kodesh. Anshe Kodesh. So that's one thing if you see what it means, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, just mentioning the words of Eretz Yisrael creates a Kedusha in the one who says it, and also anybody happen to be listening also will receive an added dose of Kedusha by that. Okay, let's take a look at another point that Chasam Sofer makes regarding the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Something very fascinating. And this Chasam Sofer is in Parshas Vayetze. We have here, like, as we say, a melody of Chasam Sofer is here. Different, just going a string, just bringing about in different areas about to have a little bit of a glimpse, to have a little idea what Eretz Yisrael means. Okay, so in order to do that, I put here on the sheet number 3 here, 3 psukim in Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze starts, Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva. Yaakov Avinu leaves Beersheva. That's at the time when he was afraid that Esav is going to kill him, because Yaakov Avinu happened to preempt Esav taking the brachas from Yitzchak. Yitzchak's original kavanah was to bless Esav. Yaakov Avinu threw the orders of his mother Rivka, right? Went through with it, and the idea was, yeah, it was called schemed his way through, and this was based upon Rivka's instructions, and he preempted Esav from the brachas. Esav was quite upset. Esav cried, is mentioned over there. Yitzchak Sa'oka Gedoylo. Esav actually cried. He says, "Habrocha, do you don't have any brother? Brocheni Yoli, please, my father, please give me a brocha." And I'm saying this already. Maybe you might remember the word that I mentioned. And that is, Esav comes back and he hopes to get the brocha. He brings the food to his father. And his father says, "Is that you? I already gave away the brocha." Esav didn't realize. He gave the brocha to Yaakov. He gave the brocha to Yaakov, so now he finally realizes that he gave it to the wrong son. And Esav therefore says, "Father," he says, "give me a brocha." If you remember, Yitzchak said, I have no brocha to give you. I gave it away. All of a sudden, later on, we find he does give him a brocha. He said, "Vitan lecha lekim." He does give him a brocha. He does give him a brocha. So what happened? Originally he said, "I don't have a brocha to give you." So I heard many years ago, they're from Rav Gifter, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Shiva tells, and he said, there's something in the middle over there. You know what the middle? He said, by Yitzhak, he says, Esav cried. When a person cries and he begs, it creates a new source of bracha. Esav cried. And that cry, "Please, Tata, please give me a bracha. Don't you have a bracha for me?" So that outpouring of genuine feeling and sensitivity, even from an Esav, by Yitzhak, he cried out, that created new wellspring of bracha. So he pointed out, if Esav's crying can create a bracha, can you imagine when a Jew cries, an El Chayit, he cries out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Ben Shalom, I need this, I need a shidduch, I need panos, can you imagine the tremendous power that a person is able to achieve? If the cry of an Esav or Rosha has the ability to create the new bracha. Can you imagine the cry of a yid, the powers? So look at the pasuk number 3. So Yaakovin was afraid Esav was going to, his mother told him, you have to leave, because I heard that Esav, he's planning to kill you, so you have to leave. So Yaakov makes his plans, now he has to get married. He's going down now to Lavan. He's going down to Haran. He's going to meet Lavan, and that's where he meets, of course, his two wives, Leah and Rachel. So the pasuk starts out the opening, Vayetze Yaakov Beir Shora, he leaves Beir Shora, Vayelech Harana. What does Vayelech mean? He goes to Haran, fine. Then in the middle, look at the next, what happened in the middle? He falls asleep, he has a dream. And what's part of the message in the dream? We just have this, what we need here. What's part of the dream? Because Baruch says to Yaakov, don't be afraid. I am with you. You have it right here. I will protect wherever you go. And I promise you, you'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. Because now he was leaving Eretz Yisrael. In other words, sometimes when a person leaves a country, you never can be all too certain that you'll ever make it back. Many people have plans to come back, but situations that didn't work out that way. Yaakov now was leaving. He's going down to Lavan. Who knows what's at stake in the future? It's because Baruch came to him in a dream, right, when he had that dream, and he said to him, I will protect you, and now Lashi Vaisicha. He has a dream, now he continues further on his journey. But what's the new words? What are the words further? Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov raises his feet. What does that mean? Vayisa Vayelech Arzo. Again, the opening pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov Beir Shora, go back to the beginning, Vayelech. It doesn't say he raised his feet. Vayelech, you know, of course you raise your feet, you walk. But then it says later, Vayetze Yisrael Yaakov Raglov. What does it mean? Some sefer says an amazing thing. You know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When you go to shul, you should walk fast. You should walk fast. Why? Because when you're going towards a mitzvah, right? It would hurt even sometimes a little bit of a trot. Just go to show when you're excited about something, you run towards it. But when you leave shul, the halacha is you have to go out slowly. You can't run out of shul because then it looks like it was a burden. Just can't wait to get out. Again, repeat the halacha. Towards shul, you can run. You're allowed to run. Leaving shul, you're not allowed to run. You go slowly. However, there's another halacha. If you're leaving shul with the intention you're going to come back soon, you're allowed to run leaving, because that means all the sooner you'll be able to get back. You hear that? You hear that halacha? Okay, look at some sefer. When you leave Eretz Yisrael, it's like leaving a Beis Medrash. When you leave the Beis Medrash, you're not allowed to run, you just walk. Vayetze Yaakov Beis Shora. Listen to some sefer. When you leave Beis Shora, when you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vayelech. Stam Vayelech. Just walking, can't run, can't rush. Because leaving Eretz Yisrael is the same thing like leaving a Beis Medrash, leaving a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to run. But in the meantime, Yaakov Avinu had a revelation. Hashem told him, you'll be able to come back. Oh, if I am now being told I'll be able to come back, so the sooner I leave, so what does it say later? Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. He ran. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. It's not Stam Vayelech. Because now he knows he'll have the opportunity to come back. That's the Cheshem. But leaving Eretz Yisrael, so some sefer is like leaving a shul. And therefore, you can't run. Go slowly to show that it's difficult to leave. It's not easy to leave. You show that you're still attached, you're still connected. Halavaya didn't have to leave. Look at some sefer, look at the words. Ksiv, Vayelech Harona. First it says Vayelech. Vayetze Yaakov Vayelech Harona. We're coming Ksiv, and then later on it says, Vayisra Yaakov Raglov. Later it says he raised his feet. Raised his feet means like he was, like to run. Raising his feet like to gallop. What happened? Why in the beginning? Vayelech Stam Vayelech. And then later on, Vayisra Yaakov. The Tchila Yotzolat La'at. In the beginning, he went slowly, slowly. Meretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz. When you're leaving Eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz, like some sefer, Kedin, Hayoyse Mebeis HaKnesset, V'Halochit, when somebody leaves the shul, Al Yafsiya Psiya Gasa. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't have wide steps. It's an expression. When you leave, slow steps. You know, short steps, not wide steps. As if to make it, take it longer, to take longer. Later on we find Nosos Raglov Leil B'Mehiris. But later he raised his legs to go fast. What happened? Ki Yomru Chazal, because the Gemara says in Brochus, L'mei ala Beis HaKnesses Mitzvah L'mirhat. To go towards the shul is a mitzvah to run. And the Mashah says, listen to what this, what the Mashah says, that leaving, right, with the intention to come back, you're allowed to run also. Because that means you'll come back that sooner. Somebody who's leaving with the intention of coming back, Yoret bitzios. Let him run when he leaves, because it means all the quicker he'll be able to come back. Kedei lemayer chaziras biyosoy. V'ochiname, and therefore now to Keshen Isbasa. He had a dream, right? He had a dream. The dream came later, right? Vayetze Yaakov b'shava, vayelech harone. He didn't have a dream yet. Vayelech, he goes slow. I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael. He fell asleep, had a dream. With that dream, say, Vashivisich Oladom. I'm going to take you back to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to come back. Kishin is Basa, when he received the Besur of Vashivisich, right? Hoye mitzvah laws. Now is a mitzvah to run. Be it siyosoy. Why? Kedei lemahir chazirosoy. Al kem yisay yankar raglo. Here's another attitude. Eretz Yisrael is like a Beis HaKnesses. Eretz Yisrael is like a Beis Medrash. And therefore, like we have halachas that we have in the Beis HaKnesses, we see that some sages says we adopt the same types of halachas regarding Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you're talking about Eretz Yisrael, I want to tell you one thing. If not a Chassam Sofer, no one would be able to say this, only Chassam Sofer. You know, if you're talking about, because God created Shemayim V'yoretz, now listen to this, there's heaven and earth. There's nothing more earthly than earth. There's nothing more physical than earth. There's nothing more lowly, right, than earth. Earth is earth. It's the epitome of Gashmis. That's what it is. Shemayim is totally spiritual. It's Ruchnius. It's non-tangible. Shemayim is totally holy. That's what Shemayim is. It's heavenly. It's heavenly. The ground is earthly. The ground is earthly, and therefore, if there's any Kedusha, if there's any holiness in the ground, it's because we create it. Our behavior creates Kedusha. The ground, the earth within itself, is earthly. It's devoid of Kedusha. It's our avoida. It's what we do to bring Kedusha into this world. But Shemayim, the holiest of holy. That's what Hashem is, Shemayim. Some Sofer says, the ground of Eretz Yisrael has more holiness than the heaven above, outside of Eretz Yisrael. The ground of Eretz Yisrael, the Kark of Eretz Yisrael, has more Kedusha than the Shemayim over Chutz La'aretz. That's how great, that's how strong, how powerful the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Look at it on top number 4, you'll find it. And there's a few lines that's in the Drosh Chassam Sofer. So I have no idea, the holiness, even the ground, the earthly part of Eretz Yisrael, contains more Kedusha than the heavenly part of the rest of the world outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Shemayim above Chutz La'aretz has less Kedusha than the Karak of Eretz Yisrael. Who can say such a thing? Chassam Sofer. Look here, number 4. It's in the Drosh Chassam Sofer Chelik Beis. As we have here, Daf Shin Chov Dalet. Karke Eretz Yisrael Mekudish Yosu Mishomayim Shal Chusloretz. Karke Eretz Yisrael Yesh Bem Kedusha Atzuma. Has an amazing Kedusha Yosu Mishomayim, more than the heaven which is on top of Chusloretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Alkein, so Chansofer says the following observation. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. He was only allowed to go up to the border, right? He was just up to Eretz Yisrael. The closer he came to Eretz Yisrael, because that's where Moshe Rabbeinu died, right? Moshe Rabbeinu died very close to Eretz Yisrael. They went through the desert, right? Ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Atkan, block. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go. You can't go. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to his closest point, to Eretz Yisrael, he all of a sudden experienced, as a Chassam, a surge of Kedusha, that surpassed what? Let's remind ourselves. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to receive the Torah, where did he go? He went up to Shemayim. How long did he stay there? 40 days and 40 nights. At that time, one could imagine you can't be much of a human being if you're surviving in heaven, right, without eating and drinking 40 days, 40 nights. So Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim to receive the Torah. Said some sort of a mind-boggling thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a living human being, coming close to Eretz Yisrael, he felt more Kedusha than when he was in heaven for 40 days and 40 nights. Because the Karka of Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than the Shemayim of Chutz La'aretz. It's unbelievable. So Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 days, right? 40 days in Shemayim to receive the Torah. He was in Shemayim. That was less Kedusha than being next to Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. I say, this, no one can say this on their own. But here the Chassam Sofer says it. Look what he says. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Gebul of Eretz Yisrael. When he came to the Gebul, to the border, he experienced a tremendous light, tremendous Kedusha of holiness, which he did not experience, when it was there for 40 days. Again, it's incredible, incredible. So we're just about out of time because there's something else I want to just leave you with. So we'll do just one more piece. It's something that you might have heard in one of the Chumashur, we might have mentioned it. And this is a very fascinating thing. There was in the year 1837, there was a tremendous earthquake in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. It was in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. It was in the Tzfas, Tveria, and the whole area. Hundreds of Jewish families, children, men, women died, perished because of that earthquake. Shuls, houses, everything was wiped out. And the question really was, who knows, we don't have prophets today. Now what's the reason, why did it happen? When Hashem does something, it's not for nothing. There's a reason for it. The Sam Sofer here writes it, it's in the Drosh of Sam Sofer, and I want you to see this here. It's a fascinating thing, and you understand right away why we are bringing it right now. Because we have learned just now in the Shaar HaVodah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, He selected Eretz Yisrael from the rest of the land, from the rest of the world, and within Eretz Yisrael itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim really has the highest, right, has the hierarchy. Yerushalayim comes first before anything else. Yerushalayim comes first. Look what the Chassam Sofer says in this next segment here that we have here. It's in Drosh Chassam Sofer Chalik Beis Tavshin Petes. Okay. B'yayim Chavdalet. Skip the heading, the two lines. We'll save some time here. B'yayim Chavdalet Tevis. It was on the 24th of Tevis. Shnas Tovkuf Tzadik Zayin. Right? Tovkuf Tzadik Zayin. It was 1937. Actually, it was still 1936 because the Jewish calendar changes first. And then comes the, which is still, the Jewish calendar is in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. But the Goyish calendar only changes by the next January. So it was 1836. There was some sofer, there was an earthquake, Be'eretz HaKdosha, V'nechrebu Gimel HaYoris. Three cities were destroyed. Tzfas, Tver, Yishechem. Tzfas, Tver, Yishechem were destroyed. V'nehergu Alofim Nefoshes Mishra. Thousands, he writes. Thousands of nefoshes Mishra were killed. Ubahem, and among them, kama meyos tenoikish obeshavim. Hundreds, hundreds of young children who were learning in yeshivas, in cheder. Hevel shem bechet, young children who were not chayte, did not sin. Innocent, pure children. In addition to that, among them were great Torah sages. Chachomim, Rabbonim, tremendous, v'kame chachim Yisrael. Alufe Yehuda, leaders of Klal Yisrael, ugeoinim. Goyim, he says, Hasomim Lailos Kayomim, who basically spend night and day ala Torah avoda, all day, 24 hours a day, they're busy serving Hashem. Tamir Chachomim, Sadikim Habe, Nechrevu Hayoris, the cities were destroyed. Neherso Abatim, the houses were totally demolished. Umehem Kamen Botim Knesis and Botim Rosh, among the many, many shuls, also. Narrowly, it's my opinion, says Chassam Sofer. Why? Why did it happen? Sadiku Hashem. Tzadik Olakim, because Baruch is righteous. If he does it, there's always a reason. So he says, Kinas Yerushalayim Osa Zois. It was a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking up for the honor of Yerushalayim. You see, at that particular time, when the land was being settled, people abandoned Yerushalayim and they were moving to all parts of Eretz Yisrael. Particularly, very attractive was to move to Tzfas. Because Tzfas is known as the Ira Mekubalim. It's the city of all the, right? All of the Mekubalim. The Kabbalistic city. Right? So maybe that's the city of the mystical city. And therefore it's a very attractive. There's something very mysterious about going to Tzfas, even to this day. And no question about it. And therefore people abandoned, did not settle. Yerushalayim was left desolate. Wasteland, literally. And Tzfas was being. So Chassam Sofer, Kodesh Baruch Hu took up for the honor of Yerushalayim, being that Yerushalayim has been selected from all of Eretz Yisrael to be the first. So Kinas Yerushalayim Osos Ozois, Kisham Shara Shemaim, because the gates of heaven is Yerushalayim. It's not Tzfas. It's not Tveria. The gates of heaven is Yerushalayim. He says, Shom Hara Maria, that's where Hara Maria, that's where the Akedah took place, Akedah Sitzchok. Shom Shachar Yaakov, that's where Yaakov lay himself down and had the dream, had the prophecy. He had the ladder, the dream of the ladder of Chomei Sulam. Shom Hara Bais Hashem, that's the mountain Hashem built the Beis HaMikdosh. That's the tail, that is the mountain, Shachol Piyos Ola Poyim. When we down, we always down towards that direction. That's the place where we down. For Zozo Shechinah Mekoyis Maravi. And the Shechinah never was removed from the Koyis Maravi. The Hine Nishkecho Legamer and Yerushalayim was totally forgotten. He says, the last 100 years, says the Chassam Sofer. Imagine the last 100 years. He's talking now in the early 1800s. He's talking about the last 100 years, which is before that, but the last 100 years. So the last 100 years, some upanayim was Tzfas. People chose the direction we're going to Tzfas. Why? Kishon Kever Ishalakim. Right? We have the godly man, Shimon Yechoy Miron, right? Because that's the Kever Shimon Yechoy Miron. Yabari and Tzfas. So you have the real Kodesh in Tzfas, you have the Ramak in Tzfas, right? The Ramak is also in Tzfas. And you have Rav Shimon ben Yochai to that part. V'chol ha'olam Eretz Yisrael, all those who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, v'yisomu p'neim elo Tzfas u'tveria. V'yisholayim nishkecho legamre. Yerushalayim was forgotten totally. V'hu ad mikvodoi. And its covet, its honor has been reduced. Some Seifer's opinion is, by the way, that's an interesting thing. Agavuchet, we find that another thing. Because you know, Bisman, we had a Beis Hamikdash, there was a Mitzvah, Sholosh Tom and Bashon, a Yeroy, called Zachur, Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. The Mitzvah had to go up to Yerushalayim three times a year. Question of Bisman Hazem, when we have a Beis Hamikdash. Well, obviously, people are not so careful about going. People don't, first thing, okay, we have a ticket three times a year to go up to Yerushalayim. Because the opinion of many, many is that Bisman Hazem, we don't have Beis Hamikdash, there's no Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. Bisman Hazem. Some sophist seems to take the opinion of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, who holds that there is a mitzvah manazet. Look a little further. He says, "B'mokoyim shegam b'zmanazet mitzvah la with a regular Yerushalayim b'zmanazet." There's a mitzvah. K'moy shekosa v'oichiach. It was written and was proven b'sheilus yaidis. That's Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Chelik Aleph. Leisom mishalev lo deshom, and nobody pays attention to want to live there. If you're moving already there, move closer to Yerushalayim. Be by Yerushalayim, or at least go visit Yerushalayim. Afloy lalos ela, not even to go there. Ela lalos tesfas lehilur of shemichoy. You always visit Meron. You're going to Meron. Very well, go to Meron, but don't abandon Yerushalayim. Some safest opinion is, so now when we learn Rabbeinu Yoyne, because Rabbi chose Eretz Yisrael above all the other lands, but above Eretz Yisrael itself, it's only Yerushalayim. Said here we see Rabbi Yisrael. Here we see. Here what it means. Let me just leave you just with a small thing. Mamish should just another minute. It really won't keep you at all. It's just another minute. And there's a secular Jew in Mexico City. His name was Jacoby. That was his name. And he owned a construction firm. This Mr. Jacoby owned a construction firm. And when he went into this business, it seemed to be a promising future. Like many times, people go into business, right? And they have a lot of dreams about what the future might bring. But Ramayza was the Mexican economy suffered. In 1985, there was a tremendous downturn. So the construction business, Mamashi, it nosedived. Construction business nosedives. Also, the peso, which is the currency, they devalued, and business mamish has slowed down to a near halt. So, Mr. Jacoby feared that his mamish, that his firm, would collapse entirely. So, in a particular headache that he had a large office building that he constructed shortly before business became poor. And he had a lot of plans, either be able to rent it out, the building, or be able to sell it. It turns out, that a large part of the building remained unoccupied. And Mamish was losing money, was dragging him down, it was destroying him completely. And he couldn't find a buyer, and he could not afford the loss. There was one bright spot in his life, and that was that he discovered a little bit of the beauty of what it means to be a Jew. And he was not totally committed at that time. He was not totally committed to mitzvah observance, but he did attend regularly Torah classes. And little by little, you know, he had a journey, he was coming closer and closer. And his interest grew until one Friday morning he resolved that he was going to keep Shabbos for the first time in his life. He resolved, this next Shabbos is, on the first Shabbos, I'm going to keep Shabbos for the first time in his life. He made that commitment. And what it means, by the way, that he had to close his offices earlier in order to be able, right, to go to shul on Friday night and also to keep Shabbos properly. He wouldn't be able to keep his business open as he did. Late that morning, this Friday, he receives a phone call. There's a phone call, he says, representative of a wealthy company expressed interest in buying that empty office building. So Mamish, they said, Mamish just right for us. They understood what the type of building it was. So we'd like to meet you to discuss, he says, all the possibilities. So the question was, can they send a group of representatives to come to the office? He says, this afternoon at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is already close to Shabbos, but still is some time. He says, certainly, he says. And he says, I'm sure, he said, I hope that you can find the building that can suit your needs and come. 5 p.m., take the ride, discuss the property and the dimensions and negotiate the price. But time can pass. You know, it takes time to close a deal. They don't do it 1-3. Being closer to Shabbos, sunset was approaching. He looks at his watch, he sees it's on the Shabbos. So he said to himself, what do I do now? He says, if I don't close this deal with them, that. This is what I'm waiting for. This is going to save me, he says, for my situation is. But then the other hand, he said, I made a commitment. I'm going to keep Shabbos. He decided he's going to stick to his commitment. And he said to them, he said, gentlemen, he says, we will have to continue, he said, the meeting on Monday. But I have to stop. It's my religious observance, and I have to do that. And they did not understand that how he's going to. I was going to allow myself not to lose a possible situation. But he said desperately, he said, this is what I have to do. I made up my mind. We're adjourning the meeting. Why not finish now? He says, I can't stay longer. And so it was. Monday morning comes. They don't arrive. Tuesday comes. They don't arrive. He seemed to have lost a buyer that seemed to be quite interested. September 19, 1985. This was 1985. But on September 19th, if you know a little bit of history, there was an earthquake in Mexico. We just spoke about earthquakes, right? Which left 10,000 dead, 30,000 injured, 1,000 more homeless, which means it toppled most of the tall buildings in Mexico. Among the few that remained was his building, and he came to buy it. That's Mir Shalsele.